Welcome to chapter 5 of The Contagious Mind. This chapter is kind of a bonus chapter. I call it Sharpening Your Mind, Silica versus Aluminum. And we're going to get into some very interesting information here about how to keep your brain functioning well and therefore help keep your mind clear so that you can do all the things we're talking about in this book. It turns out that aluminum is a very toxic element, toxic to neurology. It's toxic to plants and animals and humans as well. And aluminum is in a lot of things. It's in food, it's in the air, it's in soil and the dirt. There's aluminosilicates, there's aluminum in detox products like zeolites are primarily made of aluminum, by the way. And lots of different sources of aluminum. And you have to get rid of that in order for your brain to function. Now it's believed by a lot of people, a lot of nutritionists and scientists and medical professionals and so on, that high levels of aluminum in your brain are associated with Alzheimer's or dementia, basically neurological degradation. And this is because aluminum is toxic. It interferes with the normal functioning of nerve cells, and aluminum is not nutritive. There is no known beneficial function in your body, like there is for iron, for example, or magnesium, or even manganese, or selenium, and so on, zinc. But for aluminum, there is nothing good about it. Now, how do you get rid of aluminum so that you can protect your brain function? The answer, surprisingly, is found in silicon, which is an element. Silicon, SI, is an element, and in various forms, it is generally referred to as silica, S-I-L-I-C-A. But that's a generic term. The word silica doesn't really describe the molecular morphology of what exactly you're talking about. So I'm going to try to be more specific here. I'll talk about silicon as the element. And then I'm going to be talking about orthosilicic acid, which is a very specific configuration of a silica atom, SI, surrounded by four hydroxyl groups, OH. And that creates orthosilicic acid, where ortho means four. And what's amazing, well, we'll get to what's amazing about that in a second. But first, I want you to understand that silicon is used in computers to keep time. And the brain of the computer is the CPU, central processing unit. The brain has, it has to work off of a clock of cycles, a certain frequency. So you'll hear that, oh, this CPU is, it used to be, 4.77 megahertz back in the 1980s. Well, now they might run it at gigahertz speeds. And that describes how quickly the computer's clock is ticking forward. And with each tick forward, some of the circuits in the CPU are able to process a chunk of logic, which in these multi-channel processors today, that might be a mathematical equation or a GPU rendering unit or what have you. Or it's moving a chunk of data from RAM to the CPU or back to RAM and so on. So all computers have to have a clock. And I'm not talking about the system clock that tells you, oh, it's 5:35 p.m. No, I'm talking about the onboard silicon clock that produces the gigahertz frequencies that essentially control the timing of the CPU and RAM and everything that's happening on the motherboard of the computer. These clocks that control these computers are made of quartz. Quartz is a crystal oscillator, and quartz is made of just two elements, silicon and oxygen. Interesting, huh? Silicon and oxygen makes quartz. So, in fact, if you go to a gem store, let's say, and you buy a quartz crystal, and it's semi-translucent normally, it's kind of whitish, but somewhat translucent, and They come in different shapes and different shards, and they have kind of, you know, a geometric shape to them. Kind of fun to look at, you know, quartz crystals. You're looking at the exact same thing that functions inside a computer's CPU in order to keep time for the computer. All right, now, this is all going to tie together, so stay with me here. Quartz is made of silicon, the element, SI. Quartz helps your computer's brain function. In a different way, silicon in the form of orthosilicic acid also eliminates aluminum from your brain, allowing your brain to function. So the tie-in here is that silicon, SI, is used both in the brains of computers and also to maintain the brains of human beings. And I find that fascinating. It doesn't mean we're computers or robots or anything or cyborgs, although I'm not too sure about Mark Zuckerberg. But silicon is useful in both cases. Now, let's get to understand quartz a little bit better. So quartz, this is from CircuitDigest.com, by the way. Quartz is a mineral composed of silicon and oxygen atoms. It reacts when a voltage source is applied to the quartz crystal. So when you apply voltage, it produces what's called a piezoelectric effect. When you apply voltage, it changes the shape of the crystal and produces mechanical forces. And then those mechanical forces, when they revert back to their original shape, it produces an electric charge. So what's happening in computers is they're applying a small amount of voltage to an actual piece of quartz, and this quartz is oscillating at a known frequency. And this frequency is based on the elements inside the quartz crystal. So your computer is running on a vibrating crystal, just so you know, and it's a piezoelectric effect. And when you convert electrical energy to mechanical energy or mechanical to electrical, that's called transduction, or devices that do this are called transducers. And according to Circuit Digest, this produces a, quote, very stable vibration or stable oscillations. So just to be clear, when you're applying power, that is electric voltage, to a quartz crystal, it produces mechanical vibrations that physically change the morphology of that crystal at a microscopic level. And then that change produces additional electric signals because of the transduction. And these newly produced electric signals are oscillating at a known frequency. And it's that frequency that is used by the CPU to determine the clock cycles of everything on the motherboard, from RAM to the central processing unit and so on. So in other words, silicon crystals in the form of quartz allow computers to run and to maintain their central processing units. Now, the elements that go into quartz are nothing but silicon and oxygen. And the form of this is called silicon dioxide. It just means one silicon element and then two oxygens. That's all. So dioxide just means two oxygens. A lot of people think, oh, it sounds like a scary chemical. It's not. It's just two oxygens together. So silicon dioxide is quartz. Now, if you were to eat a quartz crystal in, let's say, a powder form, it would be incredibly harmless. In fact, silicon dioxide is a known ingredient in supplements and also in certain types of personal care products. You've probably seen this listed on, let's say, a sun lotion or something. Oh, silicon dioxide. What is that? It's just ground up quartz. It's the powdered quartz crystals, just in a powder form. And it flows very easily, and it's very white, you know, so it makes creams and lotions look more white. And I think it's used in some supplements as a flow agent as well. This stuff is essentially harmless. It just passes right through your digestive tract. It's kind of like eating little tiny pieces of sand. Not that I would recommend doing that. But if you did, it would be harmless. If you've ever eaten sand, you've just eventually just defecated it right back out because your body can't digest sand. And it can't digest silicon dioxide either because the crystal, even in powder form, is too durable. But if we take this silicon dioxide and we rearrange it and we add two more oxygens to it, and hydrogens attached to each oxygen element, then we get a form called orthosilicic acid. So a silicon element in the center with an OH, or a hydroxyl group, at each of four points that's attached to the silicon. Now, on paper, if you're looking at this in a 2D form, it looks like there's an OH group above the silicon and below it and to the left and to the right. That's the two-dimensional kind of version of this, but that's not the way it works in the real world. In the real world, the OH groups form up as corners of a pyramid, and inside the pyramid is the silicon element. So imagine a three-sided pyramid, not a four-sided pyramid, but a three-sided pyramid. It has 3 points at the base and then 1 point above. But imagine that each the length of each edge of this is all the same. And so, but then inside the pyramid, you have the silicon. That's what an orthosilicic acid molecule looks like. Now, what's the big deal about this? When you drink orthosilicic acid, which is, it's a bioavailable liquid form. And by the way, I don't sell it, so this is not a product pitch. But when you drink this, and by the way, I think it makes water taste really wonderful. When you drink this, this molecule binds up with aluminum in your blood and in your tissues. It actually binds to the aluminum and it creates a larger molecule called aluminosilicates. And these aluminosilicates are large enough to be grabbed by your kidneys as your blood is, you know, kind of being filtered by your kidneys, you could say. And then your kidneys are able to eliminate this, send it on to your bladder and for urination out of your body, and you're essentially then peeing out aluminum with the orthosilicic acid that's bound to it. So you could say that the orthosilicic acid is a kind of trap for aluminum. It traps the aluminum and carries it out, and then your body gets rid of it. So this is how you can eliminate aluminum from your body. Now, you might wonder then, where do you get orthosilicic acid? And it's interesting. There are some natural sources. The ones that I know of, I've done quite a bit of research on this. One is horsetail herb. But horsetail herb, you know, grows in sand typically. And as it's growing in the sand, it's converting the sand, which is also, what, silicon in a certain form. It's converting the sand into orthosilicic acid. And so if you take the horsetail herb, which is also just a rich source of silica, as is known, and if you process it into a tincture, you'll get out some amount of orthosilicic acid. But you have to harvest it at the right time of year. I think kind of mid-spring is my understanding of when it has the highest concentration of orthosilicic acid. Second source is bamboo. But I've tried to get bamboo sources, like bamboo powder, that's high in orthosilicic acid, and all I've received so far is just silica. So the bamboo that's out there in the marketplace, at least that I've bought on Amazon, it does not seem to contain OSA, even though it claims to. So there's a lot of garbage sold on Amazon, even in the supplements area, a lot of things that aren't really an accurate description of what they're selling. So basically, if you buy orthosilicic acid in the form of bamboo off Amazon, at least in my experience, you're just basically buying expensive sand and eating sand. So that's not a good source. A third source that is a natural source is Fiji water. Now, Fiji water, it's a brand, you know, bottled water. It's sold all over the place in airports and grocery stores and so on. And Fiji water naturally contains a pretty high amount of orthosilicic acid simply because of the just the mineral composition of the aquifer where this water comes from. Somehow, Fiji water, underground, there's a lot of silica, and then somehow it's made into orthosilicic acid, which is water-soluble and also bioavailable, and it ends up in Fiji water. And so they're just bottling that, and it's just this incredible gift. You know, whatever company, the Fiji water company that stumbled across this is sitting on a gold mine, because in my view, Fiji water is actually something that can, for example, protect children from aluminum in vaccines. In my opinion, it can help protect elderly from aluminum poisoning that could exacerbate Alzheimer's or dementia and many other things. I think Fiji water is a true healing, almost miraculous water. So, I mean, that's one other place you can get it. There are also some other supplements, some liquid supplements that are sold by companies that are experts in this. And the one brand that I know of in this category is called Organo, O-R-G-O-N-O. And you can probably find this at health food stores. It's called Organo G5 Silly Plant, like S-I-L-I plant, as in silica plant. And it's marketed as it's kind of a collagen booster or a supplement for joints and bones and so on. And I think this company, Organo, has a couple other products as well, like Living Silica, things like that. So that company, I think, has good quality. I don't know about the others that are out there, but I would just be, you know, I'd just be careful, because there's, if you don't get the right form of this, if you're just drinking, say, generic silica or, you know, a bamboo leaf extract that where you're not sure what's the form, you know, you may not be getting the orthosilicic acid. And that's a very specific form. And, you know, I have a food lab, and I was even asking my chemist to look into this and to do some research and find out, you know, could we test the morphology of the various forms of silica and maybe buy a bunch of these supplements and just see which ones actually have orthosilicic acid? And because you don't want to just drink silica, just generic silica, whatever that is, because I don't know what molecular form that is. I want the orthosilicic acid. So it turns out it's a pretty complex thing to do this correctly in the lab. And we did not have the bandwidth to really pursue that research just for testing other people's products. It's probably kind of a 6-month or maybe a 1-year project in our lab. So we never did it. And really what you need is an instrument called it's kind of a nuclear magnetic resonance imaging type of system for looking at the polymorphism of molecules. And it's about $1 million instrument, and you have to have all this electromagnetic shielding and everything. And even then, it only gives you a statistical probability of what it's seeing and things like that. It's like, wow, I'm going to spend $1 million and build a new building and only get a maybe percentage. That's no thank you. That sounds like too much work. So on this topic, then, it's kind of a buyer beware situation, which is true with a lot of supplements and a lot of mineral supplements. You know, some minerals can be really toxic, and some of the detox supplements that are sold out there actually contain a lot of aluminum, which is crazy. You know, this is something that I've talked about publicly and even exposed as a whistleblower, some of these detox supplements that I think have poisoned a lot of people. And they contain aluminum, because aluminum is actually, it's known as a flocculant in water filtration or water purification. If you add certain forms of aluminum to water that's dirty, the aluminum will bind up with a lot of the materials and precipitate that out of the water. And I remember a few years ago, there was a water, I don't know, it was like a detox supplement that this one group was selling through a bunch of online webinars. And they were saying, they were doing a demonstration, like, look, we pour this into the water And then all of a sudden, all this toxic crap falls to the bottom. And they were saying, see, that's how it works in your body. It removes everything that's toxic and just leaves your body clean. Well, the problem is the substance they were pouring into the water is mostly aluminum, which means you were drinking aluminum. And that's still sold on Amazon.com, by the way. You can still buy it. I'm not going to get into the name and everything right now. That's not the focus here, but just be very, very careful about buying mineral supplements. One of these is sold as an iron supplement when it's actually high in aluminum. It's a liquid iron supplement. And just, again, just be very, very cautious. And some of these supplements are sold as kind of like, I don't know, magical mineral concentrates or something like that. And it's just, it's crazy how much aluminum is sold out there. And there's a name of a type of product that's sold in, I guess you could say, kind of like the raw vegan circles. And it's called Shilajit, or I think it's an Indian name, Shilajit. And it's spelled kind of like Shilajit. And we tested it in the lab. It's crazy high in aluminum and lead. And it makes people feel like really energetic when they eat this. And that's because they're getting metals poisoned. So I think I may have mentioned this before, but if you inhale mercury vapors, it's very stimulating. And this is why mercury was used as medicine, you know, throughout the 17th and 18th centuries, for example, that it was believed to be quite a healing substance because people would have a rather strong reaction, you know, a kind of an inflammatory reaction because the mercury was killing so many of their cells, their body would react and like come to life in defense, you know? So people would smell mercury vapors and they would suddenly become more awake and aware. And it was assumed that this is because mercury is doing something good. And so even in the 1960s and 70s in the United States, you could buy mercury-based antibiotic ointment creams. So you could put mercury on your skin. And of course, the American Dental Association has had mercury fillings that are still being put in the mouths of people, especially low-income people. And right now, today, in Mexico, Central and South America, you can buy skin whitening creams that are made with mercury. Because a lot of Latino women, especially, they want to appear more fair in their skin. They want to be more white-looking because they, for some reason, they associate white skin with, being more upper class, you know, because those who have really darker skin tend to be agricultural workers and spend more time in the sun and so on. This is also true in Japan and Taiwan and China, you know, in those countries, especially in China, a lot of the skin whitening creams are also contaminated with mercury. So I just want to put this word of caution out there. If you want your brain to work in order to do everything that we've talked about in this book, you need to obviously not poison yourself with toxic elements, mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, aluminum, copper, you know, excess copper, and so on. And you need to figure out how to get good elements into your body in the right ratios. And silicon is one of those in the form of orthosilicic acid. So here's my advice on how to test a supplement. It's going to be by taste. So first, go out and buy some Fiji water. And I want you to drink that Fiji water and compare it to, let's say, distilled water or tap water. I want you to really get familiar with that taste because Fiji water has a very specific taste because of the silica or the orthosilicic acid, OSA, that's in it. Okay? Now, if you're normally a person who drinks a lot of sodas and very strong, harsh types of acidic drinks, you may not have the sensitivity to taste OSA. So you might have to get off all that other, you know, garbage drink stuff, Gatorade or whatever, get off all that to restore the sensitivity of your taste buds. But with a little bit of time and just some observation, you should be able to taste orthosilicic acid. I can taste it. To me, it tastes slightly sweet and very, rich. It has a depth to it. It makes the water sweeter and more rich somehow. It's like gourmet water would be a way to describe it. That's how it tastes to me. So now that you have that taste, you know, in your memory here, if you want to go out and buy some supplement that is a silica supplement or a salicylic acid or orthosalicylic acid and test that supplement, then, you know, add it to some water and then taste it and see if it tastes like Fiji water. If it doesn't taste like Fiji water, and if it's not water soluble, it's not orthosalicylic acid, because orthosalicylic acid is completely water soluble. It just mixes with water and it stays in solution. It doesn't settle to the bottom. And OSA has a very specific taste. So that's my advice. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of help here. I think this is a supplement that I drink every day. I add it to my water. So I take this every day. And I think it's one of the reasons why I continue to have good cognitive function, you know, into my 50s is my age at the moment. I'm taking this every day because I think you have to eliminate aluminum every day. So this is something that I almost ritualistically add to my water, even though I don't sell this product. You know, I don't have a supplement like this in the Health Ranger store. Kind of wish I did. But I think that just adds to the credibility of what I'm saying here, the fact that I don't sell it, but I'm raving about how important this is. This should be, I think, part of your everyday diet, in my opinion, if you want your brain to work well. I just think it's fascinating that the same substance, silicon, helps computers function and can also help your brain function. The same substance. That just seems really extraordinary. I mean, and on top of that, it's a crystal in the shape of a pyramid. I mean, it's like the New Age chapter of this talk, but it's not New Agey. I mean, this is just straight molecular science, it turns out. You know, crystals are real, and orthosalicylic acid is real, aluminum is real, and this effect is very, very real. And so, you know, if I were advising someone who was about to get vaccinated for whatever reason, and I knew that there were going to be aluminum adjuvants in the vaccine. See, I think some of the damage from vaccines comes from the fact that some people aren't able to clear the aluminum quickly. And by the way, predominantly, those tend to be young black males. This is why autism is a much higher risk in the black community, which has been admitted by a top CDC scientist, but the whole media covered it up. But I believe, and this should be tested, but I believe that if we gave babies orthosalicylic acid as part of their water, or if mothers drank orthosalicylic acid when they're nursing, then those babies would be able to more quickly clear various forms of aluminum used in adjuvants in vaccines, and we might be able to prevent thousands of cases of autism a year just using this OSA substance. Now, I can't prove that. It's something that I believe needs to be tested, but it is a feasible argument. It's a plausible theory that could help save lives. And yet, you know, no one is willing to talk about this in the vaccine establishment because their assumption is that vaccines aren't harming anyone. So until they embrace the harm that's being caused by them, then there's no reason for them to talk about how to prevent the harm, is there? And that censorship is harmful all by itself because they're denying the problem, and thus they have no ability to look at solutions. But this is a solution, but it can also help elderly people. It can help remove aluminum from heart tissue also, and kidney tissue as well. You know, kidney dysfunction is caused by aluminum toxicity. So there's probably no organ in your body that can't benefit from removing aluminum. So just something to ponder here in terms of everything else that we're trying to do with our consciousness and intention. You know, if you're poisoned with aluminum, you're not going to be effective in other things that you're attempting to do. So get the aluminum out. You know, before I wrap up this chapter, I better just add in a note about Fiji water. There's always controversy about, you know, bottled water companies. So number one, I don't have any relationship with Fiji. They're not even aware that I'm talking about them. So that, you know, they don't pay me. I'm not a spokesperson for Fiji. I don't even know if they agree with what I've said. The thing that's remarkable about Fiji water is the silica or silicon content in the form of OSA. I know in the past, the Fiji Water Company, which is bottled in Fiji, by the way, and I think the Fiji government there earns revenue off each liter of this water, so it's kind of helping to support the local government as well. But I think a few years ago, Fiji was thinking about moving to New Zealand and bottling water there. The problem with that, of course, is that finding an aquifer in New Zealand that happens to have orthosilicic acid is seemingly an impossible task. I don't know of any aquifer anywhere in the world that has the same composition as this Fiji water. And in my view, again, this Fiji water product is miraculous. I think it has healing properties that are yet to be recognized around the world. The controversy about Fiji water has to do with the fact that it's using plastic bottles. And it is, yeah. It's using plastic bottles. But so is Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And yet Coca-Cola and Pepsi is just filtered tap crap, basically. I mean, it's tap water that's filtered and, you know, put through RO units. And then they put in some little inkling of minerals, but not orthosilicic acid. So you're not going to get, I should say, comparing Fiji water to, let's say, Dasani water, which I think is the Coca-Cola product, comparing those two is like apples and oranges. There's no comparison. You know, Coca-Cola is like an artificial water from the municipal tap, whereas Fiji is water that literally comes from the earth with an amazing healing matrix of minerals. So there's no competition. I would drink Fiji water over any other kind of water anywhere on the planet. And then there's the question of the carbon footprint of the shipping of Fiji water. But guess what? Most Fiji water is shipped by ship, which is very economical because the weight of it doesn't affect anything. The ships have buoyancy, so the weight doesn't add anything. It's really just the volume of the bottle that counts. And these cargo ships are very, very efficient. So that doesn't add much of anything. Shipping a container from Fiji has very small cost of carbon emissions, let's say, per bottle. Compared to, let's say, the grapes you're buying at the grocery store that come from Chile in the middle of the winter in America. Now, those are road miles. So those are grapes shipped on trucks that have tires and use highways and are far less efficient than a container ship on the ocean, it turns out. So, you know, people are going to say, well, Fiji water is shipped all the way from Fiji. Have you looked in your refrigerator lately? Because most of the things in there came from somewhere else on the road often, you know, especially people that are, you know, juicing celery in the middle of the winter in Michigan somewhere. There's no celery growing nearby. That celery is coming from maybe Mexico or South America or somewhere else. So this idea that Fiji water comes from Fiji as being something bad, I dismiss that. I think that's the point, is that it's a special water. It's kind of like hundreds of years ago, you know, the kings and queens of European nations would pay top dollar for spices and the spice trade, you know, spices from India and Pakistan and wherever, the Far East, spices. It was amazing. Huh? You could get, you know, turmeric or cumin or what have you, paprika, you know, and only kings could afford the prices of these spices. And because you couldn't get these in London or wherever. You know, it's the fact that these come from somewhere else, because Earth has unique properties in different geologic regions, that's actually a bonus. That's what makes these products amazing, as far as I'm concerned. Now then, in terms of the plastic, and I apologize for kind of getting off topic here, but I don't want to be criticized about Fiji water without telling my side of the story here. As far as the plastic goes, Fiji water bottles are a higher grade plastic than the cheap garbage plastic from other companies. So like, if you want a really cheap plastic, find the Arrowhead. I think that's what it's called. Arrowhead water that's sold in grocery stores in North America. It's like the thinnest plastic possible. It's like, I'm surprised the bottle even holds its shape. The only reason it does is because it's got so much water in it that you can't quite crush it. But Fiji water bottles are actually a higher quality water bottle, and they're perfect for storing water. So after you've consumed, you know, the Fiji water, fill it up with your own home filtered water and then use it as water storage. Because one thing that I found out during the Texas rolling blackouts that happened, when was that, March of or late February of 2021, I had a week without electricity. Water pipes had burst. The temperature dropped down to 5 degrees. The whole state went into a blackout. The cell tower stopped working, everything. It was quite insane. And what I discovered during that week was that even though I'm a prepper, I still could have used more containers for storing and moving water. Fortunately, I had buckets and barrels and 55-gallon drums and things, just because of the business I'm in. But I didn't have a lot of small, you know, easily portable containers. So if I had a bunch of Fiji bottles, that would have been perfect. So the thing is, if you buy Fiji water, just don't throw the bottles in landfill. Instead, use them to add to your storage of water for emergency purposes. Now you've got the full benefit of everything. You get the orthosilicic acid, you get a high quality bottle for emergency preparedness, and you're not adding to landfill, and you're enhancing your health and clearing aluminum and all these things at once. So as far as I'm concerned, I think Fiji's a winner. That's just me, but you know, other people will have different opinions. But or you could grow horsetail herb and make your own tinctures, but that requires a certain climate and a certain amount of sand, and you need to have kind of a creek, and you need to harvest all the horsetail. It's a lot of work. Horsetail is kind of finicky. You know, it only grows in certain conditions. But anyway, those are my thoughts on the subject. And that's kind of a wrap for this bonus chapter. Thank you for listening. Next, we're just going to wrap up the whole book with the conclusion.